On Tuesday night, we saw how rich the gospel is, the wonderful thing that God has done for us, not simply saving us to go to heaven, but making us totally acceptable in God's sight, making us pure, holy, blameless before Him because the cleansing of His blood and the anointing of His Spirit, how Jesus came to open up the way into the kingdom of heaven for us now. And then last night we saw how that has opened up the entrance to the throne, that we can come before the throne when we worship, when we pray. We can actually learn to live before the throne. And how Jesus entered into the heavenlies coming through the cross, and how He has taken us to the cross so that we can come through His redeeming love, through the forgiveness, through His total acceptance, right into the Holy of Holies in heaven. And we saw that all we have to do on both these evenings is to believe what He's done. That He's done it, it's all a finished, accomplished work. And if we are to live in the good of what He's done, we simply have to believe what He's done. Now, all that, you see, is the basis of our faith. Our faith, a life of faith, is based upon our trust in what Jesus Christ has already done, and what He has done for us, and what He has made us, because we now belong to Him as His children. This evening, we need to look to the future on the basis of what God has already done. How is He going to see His will outworked in our lives? We saw that Jesus fulfilled the will of God, the will of His Father, perfectly in His life. He said, "I haven't come to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." So how is God going to work out His purpose in your life? So let me begin by asking you a question. Will God work out His purpose in your life through His word or through your prayer? Will He work out His purpose in your life through His word or through your prayer? Okay, let's see how He has worked out His word in the past, worked out His purpose in the past. Who is Jesus? He is the Word of God. How did Jesus, or how did God effect His purpose through Jesus? The Word became flesh. How did the whole of salvation, all that we heard these last two nights, this great drama of salvation, how did God accomplish all that? Not through the prayers of man, but through the Word becoming flesh. How will God work out His will in your life? By the Word becoming flesh in your life. Do I have your attention? Prayer obviously has a place. Jesus, as we saw last night, was a man of prayer. That he didn't try to use his anointing apart from dependence upon the Father on the throne. So, although he was the Word of God that was made flesh, God in human form, he did need to depend upon his Father, and he expressed that dependence in prayer. So prayer obviously has its place in Jesus. Now, is your prayer going to help the outworking of God's purpose in your life? If his purpose is going to be for his word to be made flesh in you, how is your prayer going to help to effect that? Or is your prayer going to help to effect that? And the answer to that is it all depends how you pray. You see, the Father's will was worked out in Jesus, not because he prayed, but because of how he prayed. Hello? We've seen that there's a difference between faith in Jesus and the faith that comes through Jesus or from Jesus. And we know that prayer is only really effective when it's the prayer of faith. Jesus said, "You will receive whatever you ask in prayer if you believe." But if we believe what? What are we to believe when we pray? Do we believe our prayer is going to be effective because we're praying? Are we trying to believe for the outworking of things that we want to see happen? Or do we have the absolute assurance that when we pray, what we pray will definitely, surely, must happen? Because that's what it means to pray with faith. When you pray with faith, you know what the outcome will be. So when Jesus prayed, he knew what the outcome would be. You remember when he stood before the tomb of Lazarus, before he commanded him to come out of the tomb, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me." He knew exactly what was going to happen. And John, in his epistle, teaches us the same principle, that if we know that he hears us, we know that we have from him whatever we ask. So how can we be sure that he hears us? I mean, how can we be sure that he will certainly answer our prayers? Let me put it another way. How often have you prayed and you haven't seen the answer? Now, do you think that was because God was deaf? Or because you didn't pray in the right way? One or the other. If God is going to see the outworking of his will, that is something that he has established and determined, and we are not going to change his will. This is why Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but yours be done." He knew that he had to remain submitted to the will of his Father at all times. Now, the reason why so many prayers are not effective is because there's no basis of faith in the prayer. What do I mean? On what basis do you pray? According to what? You see, if prayer is going to be effective, it's going to be fruitful. That's how Jesus talks about the effectiveness of prayer. If you continue to live in me and my words continue to live in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So Jesus is saying, answered prayer is the fruitfulness that God is looking for in our lives. So prayer that doesn't get answered, prayer that isn't effective, isn't fruitful. So you can't have fruit without seed. And so much prayer never plants seed. If you don't plant a seed, you can't have the fruit. It's a simple principle of creation. And Jesus all the time talks about seed when he's talking about his kingdom purposes. And the seed is the word of God, because God will only fulfill his purpose through his word, through all that he has done and all that he promises to do. So any prayer that does not sow his word will not be effective. Are we getting this? Because the prayer has no substance, no basis, unless it is praying the word of God, the will of God, the purpose of God into being. He does not determine his purpose through your prayers. He determines his purpose through what he has declared in his word. So our prayer has to be in agreement with his word. It has to be based upon his word. It has to be the sowing of his word, followed by the watering of that word, until we see that word produce the fruit. Because Jesus said his spirit and life is in the word. The scripture says we're to pray at all times in the Spirit. What does the Spirit do? Jesus is very clear about this. He guides us into the truth of the Word. He declares the Word to us. So in whatever situation you're placed, if you pray in the Spirit will declare the Word to you, the Word that you are to pray, the Word that is to be the substance of your prayer, because it's the substance of your faith. You are praying what God says, what God promises, into being. You're not making up your own prayer and saying, in the name of Jesus, hoping that that's going to make it efficacious so that it works. No, we pray the Word of God into being. I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture which will help you to understand this. This is a scripture that has absolutely been foundational in my life and ministry. It was foundational in the revival that we experienced back in the 1970s. When in the church I was pastoring then, I've told you before, we had 18 healing groups meeting every week. And all they did, all they prayed was the Word of God. Never prayed our own words. We prayed the Word of God and saw miracle after miracle after miracle. Why? Because God watches over His Word to perform it. He doesn't watch over your words to perform them. Are we getting this? So turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Here is a passage of Scripture that is full of commands. Who believes that the commands of God are to be obeyed? That if we love Him, we will obey His commands. Yes? Well, there's a series of commands here, all focusing on the importance of the Word of God. See, the Word of God is just as important in the Old Testament as the New Testament. Psalm 119 tells us that the Word of God is a lamp to our feet. It's a light that guides the way in which we're to walk. We don't know what to do. We don't know the will of God apart from His Word. You can hear people come with all kinds of fancy prophecies that actually aren't real prophecies, saying this, 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 and this, the Holy Spirit is saying, and this is the will of God, and that's the will of God. But you know full well that if what they're saying is not the Word, then it's just nonsense. Hello? That if there's prophecy in the Holy Spirit, the prophecy will actually be expounding the Word, bringing people to the Word. Always, true prophecy always does that. Always takes people to the Word. So, why? Because the Spirit and the Word work together. Jesus is the Word of God. The Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God. They always work together. They're never in conflict. There's never any variance between them. Amen? So we're in chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 20. My son, this is God speaking to His people, His children. We've seen that we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, yes? He has given us that spirit of sonship, which gives us access right to the throne of God. We can't go back over the last two nights all over again. My son, pay attention. There's a command. First command, pay attention to what I say. Don't just read it because in the church program, you're reading Mark 6 today. Yeah, do that. I've done it. But pay attention to what he says. Why? Because his word contains his will. He has no will outside of his word. Have you got that? Okay, so Pay attention to what I say. Second command, listen closely to my words. Not your words or the words of your best Christian pal. Listen closely to my words. Listen closely. Be attentive to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Now, if we're going to pray with faith, if we're going to pray according to the word of God, when we pray, we sow the seed of his word. I'll explain to you how to do that in a moment. But first of all, we've got to see, well, that's what we do. Whenever we pray, every prayer we pray is sowing a word. If we're not sowing a word, we're not praying in the right way. There's not going to be a harvest unless we sow the word. There's not going to be fruitfulness without sowing the word. Are you breathing? I didn't want to preach for too long tonight, but you know, if you don't get it quickly, it'll extend the amount of preaching. Because when you're preaching, you know, the Holy Spirit causes you to keep repeating something till he knows people have got it. So the quicker you get it, the shorter the preach. So it's up to you. Hallelujah. Because we want to see God do stuff tonight. So we sow the word. But the word we've sown, we must not let out of our sight. Now, that doesn't mean that when you sow the word, you dig it up to see how it's getting on. Because, you know, if a farmer did that, he'd never have a harvest. Amen? But you keep hold of the word of the promise that you've sown. You don't lose sight of it. Are we getting this? Keep them, these words, keep them in your heart. So it's no use sowing words unless you've sown them from the heart. That's why Jesus says that when you pray, you must pray from the heart. And why what God promises is to answer the prayer of the heart. Not the prayer of the mouth, but the prayer of the heart. He looks upon the heart to see whether you believe what it is you're praying with your mouth. So he says, you know, when you speak to mountains and command them to move, you must first believe in your heart. So, the word that we sow, before we sow it, we believe it in our heart. That because it's the word of God, it's the will of God. Amen? So we don't let that word out of our sight. We keep it within our hearts. There's four commands there. Look at them. Pay attention. Listen closely. Don't let those words out of your sight. Keep them in your heart. Four commands. My friend, if you don't do this, your prayer will not be effective in the way that God intends. Let's read on. Why do this? For they are life. These words that you're sowing, these words that you're attending to, that you're listening to, these words that you're watching over, these words that come from your heart, they are life to those who find them. And look, health to a man's whole body. How many of you have prayed for healing without sowing the word? without sowing the promise of God. How many before you pray for the healing are sure that you believe the promise before you pray? Because you know that God is faithful in fulfilling His promises. We're getting nearer and nearer God's reviving power, because I can tell, you know, by the kind of messages He's given me, there's no nonsense, there's no prevaricating, it's not this or that, it's black and white. It's God's take it or leave it. This is the truth, you either live it or you don't. It's as straightforward as that. You either believe what I've done for you or you don't. You either believe what my word says or you don't. You either pray according to my word or you don't. You either have my word in your heart or you haven't. You either believe I'm faithful to my promises or you don't believe that. It's very clear. Hallelujah. But of course, it's encouraging to hear the truth and to know that it's not this or that. It's always, always exactly what God says. Amen. So let's read on, because there's a few more commands here which are important. So these words that you are sowing are life to he who finds them. Well. I mean, a farmer, he's got sacks full of seed, hasn't he, when he sows? You've got a Bible sack full of words, sack full of seeds. Every page, dozens of seeds. Hallelujah. All you've got to do is be a good farmer and select the right seed for the right occasion. Amen. If he wants wheat, he's not going to sow maize. This is too deep for some of you because you don't understand farming. But if a farmer wants wheat, he is not going to sow maize. Take it from me, that is the truth. If he wants wheat, he will sow wheat. And in whatever situation you are placed, the Holy Spirit will show you, will bring to you, will tell you even the word you need to sow. Amen? We're forever trying to get God to do stuff without sowing His word. That's why our prayer becomes ineffective and rather frustrating and disappointing. God doesn't want us to be disappointed. He wants us to be fulfilled in our prayer lives, constantly thanking God for the harvest that we're seeing as a result of our prayer. But come on, we're jumping ahead. So let's get back to this. So, life and health. Ho ho! The word is health. So if we pray the word, we're going to get the health. If we live in the word, we're going to stay healthy. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. That man who came from heaven and did all those miracles was the word. It's the word that works the miracles. The word is what heals. The word who was made flesh. But the word is the same today. Jesus is still the word. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the word will still heal today. Not our prayers, but the word. If we pray the word, if we believe the word, if we sow the word, then we're going to see the results. Oh, you glad you came tonight? Okay. Above all else, verse 23, guard your heart. Why? Because you've got to pray this word from your heart. What would the enemy try to do? Sow anything into your heart that will undermine faith in that word. So God has given you the shield of faith so that every thought, every attitude, every word that anybody else could say to you that would contradict what you are believing, that word that you've sown, the promise of God that you're watching over, you reject that immediately. The thought even, you reject it. No! Anything that conflicts with the word that you've sown, you reject immediately. Because it hasn't come from the Holy Spirit. If the word that you've sown is the word of God, and it's the word that the Holy Spirit has inspired you to sow, then anything else has not come from the Holy Spirit. It's come from some other source and therefore is to be rejected. Are we getting this? So above all else, guard your heart. Don't let anything, don't let even a thought take root. All the enemy will try to sow those thoughts, but you do not allow them to take root because it's the word that has taken root. And only if the word has taken root in your prayer, you see, will it produce a harvest. So above all, guard your heart because it is the wellspring of life. You see, from your heart, there's going to spring up the life that is in God's word. Because you're keeping hold of the word. You're guarding your heart against anything that contradicts the word. Are you there? This is how God is going to work out his purpose in your life. This is why you need to be a man or woman of the word. I take it you know whether you're a man or woman, but you must be a man of the word or a woman of the word. Yes? Put away perversity from your mouth. There's another command. Put away perversity from your mouth. What does that mean? You never speak anything that contradicts what you have prayed. You do not allow anything to cross your lips that is counter to the word of faith that you have planted. You are not going to speak over your life anything that contradicts the word. Because if you do that, you've dug up the word instead of watching over it to produce the harvest. And no sensible farmer digs up the word. So put away perversity from your mouth. You see, effective prayer is a way of life. It's not an activity you do for a few minutes every day. Are we getting this? I'm having a good time. You having a good time? Okay. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. What's corrupt talk? Well, anything that contradicts God's word. It's corrupt. His word is truth. Whatever conflicts with his word is corrupt. So we keep that far from our lips. Far from our lips. Don't even think about saying anything that is going to be counterproductive to the fulfillment of your prayer. Because your prayer is the word. It's the word that is going to produce the harvest. Amen? The seed produces the harvest. Next command, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on Jesus. We're talking about Tuesday night. Consider him. Don't look back. Those who look back aren't fit for the kingdom. Don't look in upon yourself. You've sown the word. You keep looking ahead in expectation of seeing what you have sown coming to fulfillment. Amen. Fix. Next command. Fix your gaze directly before you. You're following the good shepherd. You're one of his sheep. You know his voice and you follow him. So you fix your eyes on him. You fix your eyes on what lies ahead, because your expectation is to see not your words answered, but his word fulfilled. Because he is faithful in keeping his promises. You sow his promise, and he is faithful in keeping it. So long as you continue to hold fast to it and don't dig it up. Because you start believing something else, or you start contradicting what you prayed. Are we getting it? Make level paths for your feet. Don't ask God to do what he tells you to do. Making a level path is keep walking in the word. Not just that word that you've sown, but living out the word of God, as we saw earlier in the week, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Right? You've sown the word. You're looking ahead. You're expecting to see the fulfillment of this word. You're expecting it to bear fruit. You're expecting God to fulfill his promise. So you don't look to the left. You don't look to the right. You keep your feet on a level path, following Jesus, believing his word to come to fulfillment. You're not going to be swayed to look this way or swayed to look that way. You're not going to listen to the voice of reason or the voice of temptation or the voice of unbelief, because even other Christians around you can do any of those things. But you hold fast to the word of God. Now, Jesus, when he was preaching the parable of the sower, you see, talks about the sower going forth to sow the seed, and the seed is the word of God. In Luke's version of the parable, he doesn't speak about 30, 60, 100-fold. He speaks only about the 100-fold. And when Jesus is explaining the meaning of the parable to the disciples, he says, those who bear the 100-fold fruit are those who hold fast to the word of God with an honest and good heart. They get the greatest harvest. They've sown the word and they hold fast to the word and they will not listen to anything that contradicts the word. They will not go to the left or the right. They will keep level paths before them. They will keep their eyes fixed ahead because they're looking for the fulfillment of what they've sown. And Jesus says, if you hold fast to the word of God with an honest and good heart, you'll bear 100-fold fruit. You'll have the highest return. Don't say hallelujah then, but I think it's worth an hallelujah, don't you? Oh, this is hot. So don't swerve to the left or right. Keep your foot from evil. Why? Because it's the prayers of the righteous that avail much. So don't think that just because you've sown the word in prayer and faith, that it doesn't matter how you walk. Because it matters to God. Hallelujah. Turn to John. John's Gospel, chapter 15. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to show you how this works for healing in a moment. Because that's a very practical thing. I mean, we're talking about principles of prayer that cover every aspect of our lives, not just healing. But healing's always a pretty good example to use because you get visible, discernible results with healing. Verse 7. Oh, no, we'll read from verse 5. It's all good. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Yes. Because of your honest and good heart, keep living in him and he in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Wait a minute. What does that mean? Any prayer you pray apart from him is worth nothing. Oh. Any prayer that doesn't sow the word is worth nothing. Because he is the word. And apart from me, apart from the word, you can do nothing. Are we all at the same meeting still? Okay. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Have you been burned yet? So you're still in the vine. God hasn't cut you out. You haven't been thrown in a pile and burned. Well, that's a relief, isn't it? At last, I've got a response. Everybody knows they haven't been burned up yet. That means you're still in the vine. Yes? So let's see what he says, verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, what you've sown remains in you. If it remains in you, ask whatever you wish. Listen. God expresses his will in his word. If you pray his word, you must be praying his will. God isn't going to do anything that is not his will. But if we're praying according to his word, then we are praying according to his will. Any believers in the room? Well, there's five now. That's an improvement on the three we had earlier. So this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I quoted these verses earlier, but now you can see that they are there in the Word of God. What a phenomenal promise. Ask whatever you wish if you sow the word. Right, let's just take healing for an example. No point in praying for it unless first you are absolutely 100% convinced that it is God's purpose to heal you. Don't even think of praying for healing until, first of all, you are convinced it's his will to heal you. Why? Because you're not in a place of faith. And Jesus said, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer if you believe. So if you don't believe it's God's will to heal you, how are you going to get healed? Are we there? Now, how can we be sure that it's God's will to heal us? Well, because his word has declared that. We all know Isaiah 53. That's just one of the places where we can go to demonstrate this. Verse 4, surely he took up, he bore our infirmities, carried our sicknesses or our sorrows. You can translate either way. But when it says he took up or he bore our infirmities, what the word there in the original actually means is that he took hold of it and carried it away, far away from you. It doesn't mean that he just took it upon himself, but he took it upon himself to separate you from it. I thought you said there were some believers here tonight. I couldn't even hear the five. So, surely, you see, this is what he has done, isn't it?
Yes.
So, we can expect him to do in the future according to what he has done already. So, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So he's done the whole business that is necessary for our healing. Now let me ask you, when Jesus went to the cross, did he go there for a few or for everyone? Did he take the sin of only those who have been born again, or did he take the sin of all mankind? So did he take the sickness of a few that get healed, or the sickness of every sick person living on planet Earth? So he took your sicknesses to carry them away. The Father didn't say to Jesus, I want you to go and sacrifice your life for healing of everybody except Colin Urquhart. Or except you. You were included in what is an all-inclusive action that Jesus performed. So, there is seed to sow. That's just one of many healing scriptures that you can sow. I could tell you miracles that I've seen happen just by a person sowing that word, just by showing someone how to sow that word, and amazing miracles happen. Sometimes very quickly, sometimes over a period of time, but they've sown that word, they've watched over it. They haven't dug it up to see how it's getting on, but they've watched over it. Now, how do you watch over it? Well, what does seed need when it's sowing? It needs watering. How do you water the seed? You water it with praise and thanksgiving. So Jesus says that whatever you ask in prayer, believe it, you have received it. The farmer, when he sows the seed, he believes he has a harvest. Now he knows he's got to wait until the harvest season to see it, but he does not sow the seed thinking that there isn't going to be a harvest. Hello? He is full of faith that that seed will produce a harvest. But he does know that it's very important that the seed is watered. if it's going to germinate and grow and be effective and come to full fruitfulness. So it isn't that we keep praying the same thing over and over and over again, but having sown the seed, we water it with praise and thanksgiving. Why? Because like the farmer, you see the harvest. So if you've sown a word about healing, you see your healing and you're praising God for your healing. You're thanking God for the healing because the word has been sown. But you must sow the word, not just pray for the healing. Sow the word. Do what the scriptures said. Watch over it. Guard your heart against anything else. Nothing perverse is going to come in. Nothing will cross your lips that is counterproductive to the fulfillment of that word. And it will come to fruitfulness. But you must believe before you sow the word. You don't get faith when you see something beginning to happen. You pray with faith, so you have the faith before you sow the word. So you sow the word with faith. Why? Because you know God is faithful to his word. Faithful in keeping his promises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes that seed comes to harvest very quickly, supernaturally, in a matter of moments. Sometimes a whole growth process takes place, and during that time, you have to guard your heart. You have to guard what you say. God, in his infinite wisdom, always knows the best way for each situation. Sometimes, and I've known this in my experience, sometimes the reaper overtakes the sower. What does that mean? You believe it. And before ever you get to sowing the word in prayer, it happens. You get the harvest before you do the sowing. Now, those are exceptional times, but it does happen that the reaper overtakes the sower. Now, let me ask you one more question. Is the seed of the word poor quality or good quality seed? It's the best, isn't it? And the best seed produces the best harvest. Not just with healing, but with whatever else, God's provision and so on and so on and so on. This is kingdom faith. Amen. And the seed of the word are the seeds of the kingdom. So Jesus talks about the word as seed. He talks about the kingdom as seed. Because the word is the word of the kingdom. But it's the finest seed. It's the best quality seed. It's the seed that will always produce the harvest when it's sown with faith. And when we persevere in faith by persevering with our thanks and praise, watering the word. So whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive. You see, my friend, what I have described to you tonight is what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. It's not just using his name at the end of your prayer, your words. It's sowing the word of Jesus. When you do something in his name, it's because you do what Jesus would do in your situation. When you speak in his name, you say what Jesus is saying in that situation. When you pray in his name, you pray according to his word, because Jesus would always pray according to the word, because he is the word. It'd be totally unthinkable that Jesus would ever pray anything that was not the word of God, because he is the word. He is the living word. Now, most of you have probably got a garden. If you haven't got a garden, you've probably got a window box or something. Are you going to sow just one seed?
No.
You see, you've probably got lots of seeds. I've got lots of seeds that I pray, I water every day. I got a whole list of people I pray for every day and watering. I've sown the word over their lives. I'm watering that seed, thanking God every day for the fulfillment of those words. If I was to look at the situation, I would say totally impossible. But I've sown the word, and I believe the word will prove fruitful and effective in every one of those lives. Now, as with seeds in your garden, they don't all come to fruitfulness at the same time. Hello? Again, it might be too deep for you. But you see, in this garden that you've sown in prayer, harvest there, thank you. This one, not yet, but we're just beginning to see something happen. The first shoots, well, thank you, Jesus. Your faith isn't in the first shoot, your faith is in the harvest. So you're not satisfied with just a shoot. Shoots, that's not the answer. That just means the answer's coming. Amen? So, you know, you've got this whole garden, this whole flower bed of seeds. Oh, yeah, come on. Yeah, there's another one. Oh, that one's nearly ready. Yeah, there it is. Praise God. Why? Because you've sown the word. You've sown the word. You've sown the word. Not your words, but his word. Have we got this? So, let me just round this off. We as body of Christ in this place, Kingdom Faith, we believe that God has his divine purpose for us. We have so many wonderful promises that he's spoken over this church. There's no time for me to go into them now, but I could list you a whole series of amazing promises that God has given not just to people in the church, but to other prophetic people who have visited us over the history of this church. Did you know this church is 25 years old this year? So over the 25 years, there have been many wonderful promises. Now, those promises are going to be fulfilled. Every one of them. Every one of them. That means there's going to be great and amazing things happening around here. And actually, a lot of those things are going to happen in the pretty near future. Because I believe God is working in us. I believe He's doing a work in us by His Word this week. You know, we talk about encountering God. But you see, Jesus is the Word. So we can encounter Him in His Word just as we can encounter Him in prayer. And in fact, it's sometimes even more important to encounter Him first in the Word. And then we're going to encounter Him more effectively in prayer. Can you see the wisdom of God and the way He's led us this week? I'm all the time wanting to say, oh, Lord, I just want to get out of the way. Just move by Your Spirit, come upon us and do the stuff in us. And He says, yeah, well, I'll do all that, but in response to My Word, to faith in My Word, to obedience to My Word. So you've got to get the Word into my people first. Because He operates according to His will, not my will. If it was my will, I'd just wave a magic wand over you and you'd all be in revival in 5 minutes. Whee! But God doesn't operate like that because He wants to do a deep and lasting work. We're believing here for revival for a generation, not just a little wisp of the Holy Spirit and in a few days it's all gone. No, no, we're believing for God to do something because it's going to take a whole generation to turn this nation around. So God knows, okay, that means I've got to do a deep and thorough work in people's hearts. That's what He's been doing this week, hasn't He? We've been having great times in the morning, too, at Ruffy. I know most of you can't be there, but catch up on the internet. Download the morning messages as well, because there's stuff there that will really bless you. Okay, now, that means we believe the promises and we pray the promises into being. Because all those promises are focused around the Word of God. They're not just wishful thinking that we'll have, you know, a church of thousands or that we'll see so many saved or these kind of miracles happening. We need to keep sowing the Word. Yes, the Word over our personal lives, but you see, corporately, we sow the Word over our corporate life. And that's what we need to be doing in our prayer meetings. It's possible to have prayer meetings where we pray a lot of our own words, you know, and I, to be quite honest, I always find meetings like that very difficult. I feel sort of uncomfortable. But if we sow the Word and keep sowing the Word and we believe that together, we believe the Word together, then we're going to see the fulfillment of all that God has said in His Word. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. But when we act according to His Word, He watches over that Word to perform it. Amen. Come on, let's all stand. Praise God. Are you ready to do a bit of sowing tonight? You might have a lot of personal sowing to do. Well, you can do that in your own time. What we're going to do here tonight is to sow some corporate seed over the church. Is that okay? But first of all, we're just going to go through this as you stand there and pray. We're just going to go through this passage of Scripture from Proverbs. And I want you to, in your heart, to respond to each of these commands. Not simply to say, oh, Lord, forgive me because I haven't done that in the past. Okay, He's ready to forgive you. But I want you to agree with Him. This is what you're going to do from tonight onwards. If you're not already doing it. I'm sure some of you are, but if you're not, then you agree with Him. This is the way I'm going to live. Okay, so just focus on the Lord. my son, my daughter, my child. Pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Now, can you commit yourself to that? Can you tell the Lord that? I'm not going to just read your word. I'm going to pay attention to your word. I'm going to listen closely to what you say. Do not let them out of your sight. Can you agree with the Lord that the things that he says to you personally, you're not going to let out of your sight? When they're commands, you're going to keep those commands before you until you see that you're walking in obedience to them. Can you agree with him about that? When they're promises, you're going to keep those promises before you until you see the promises fulfilled. Can you agree with that? He's listening to your heart, not just your lips. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them in your heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I can honestly say I love the Word of God. I don't just honor the Word because it's the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. When you love the Word of God, it's easy to keep it in your heart. Perhaps some of you need to pray, Lord, give me a love for your Word. But whether you have that love already or not, just agree with him. Lord, I'm going to keep your word in my heart. So that when I sow your word in prayer, it's going to come from my heart. Because I believe it in my heart. That whatever you say, I believe it. Because it's you who says it. Are you praying this? Are you praying this into being? Lord, I'm going to keep your word in my heart. Thank you that you will give me all the grace I need to do that. Can you thank him that his life, that his word is life for you? That in his word is spirit and life. His words are life to those who find them. When you read the word, you're going to find new things. The Holy Spirit is going to witness new things. And as he witnesses those things to you, they will become life to you. If you keep them in your heart, amen. If you pay attention and listen closely, and don't just say, oh, that was interesting. No, no, you listen closely. You take hold of those words. You graft them in your heart. Can you agree that you're going to do that? Lord, just give me the grace. Let me be sensitive to the witness of your Spirit. Whenever I read your word, whenever I hear your word being proclaimed, now can you thank him that his word is your health? His word is your health. You have your health in his word. Your spiritual health, your emotional health, your mental health, your physical health, in his word. That his word is health to your whole body even. That's not just physical, but it's all that your body contains. Your emotions, your mental life, health. Thank you, Lord, that your words are health to my whole being. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that as I believe your word, as I sow your word in my life, it's health to my whole being. Can you thank the Lord that the unhealthy parts of you, whether that's spiritual, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, but the unhealthy parts are going to be transformed by the health of the Word. As that Word is grafted in your heart, as you water that Word, as you sow that Word and water it with praise and with thanksgiving, that health is going to spring up within you. Hallelujah, because your heart is a wellspring of life. Can you thank Him? Can you thank Him? Hallelujah. You're going to guard your heart. You're going to guard your heart against every unhealthy thought. Yes. You're going to guard your mind against every unhealthy thought. Praise God. Praise God. God wants you to be healthy so that you can serve Him effectively in your life. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Is everybody happy? Are you rejoicing in the Lord here? Thank you, Lord, that your Word is my health. My health is in your Word. So I want that Word to be living and powerful and effective within me. Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to graft that Word in my heart. I'm going to believe it in my heart. And I'm going to guard my heart against anything at all that is a contradiction to your Word. I'm not going to let it into my heart. Because if I don't let it into my heart, then I won't let it into my life. Hallelujah. Can you agree with God on that? Can you agree that you're going to put perversity away from your mouth? You are not going to speak over your life or over anybody else's life anything that is counter or contradictory to the Word of God. Amen. If you have feelings and thoughts that are counter to the Word of God, you are not going to give expression to those emotions, to those feelings with your mouth. You are not going to speak those things over your mouth because they're perverse. And when you speak them over your mouth, you place your life under those words that you've spoken. So you get those negative things, you say no to them. I'm not going to focus on that. My focus is on the Word. My focus is on the truth. My focus is on the Word that I have sown in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you doing this? Lord, I just need your grace and your help to keep perversity away from my mouth and to keep corrupt talk far from my lips. Far from my lips. Not going to come anywhere near my lips. I'm not going to speak sickness. I'm speaking health. I'm not going to speak poverty and need. I'm going to speak provision. I'm not going to speak failure and defeat. I'm going to speak triumph and victory in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to speak despair and despondency and negativity. I'm going to speak positively. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to confess the truth over my life. When you confess the Word, it means you agree with what the Word says. That's what the word confess means. You agree with what you say. So you don't want to confess sickness, you confess healing. You're not going to confess negativity, you're going to confess positive. Come on, just agree with God about that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to keep all that negative stuff out of my heart, and it's not going to get onto my lips. You know, some of you can remember when we've had visiting ministry here that just teaches this principle, what you say is what you get. That's it. If you say it, you'll get it. You say the negative, you'll get the negative. That's why we keep the corrupt talk far from our lips. Praise you, Jesus. Make level paths for your feet. Come on, be careful how you walk. You're going to walk according to the Word. Not just pray according to the Word, walk according to the Word. Take only ways that are firm. What are firm? Firm ways are the rock. Right? You're going to walk on the rock of the Word of God, because Jesus is the rock, yes? According to the Word of God, He is, and His Word is the rock. You're going to walk on the rock, not on the shifting sand of emotions and feelings. Not on the shifting sand of circumstances. Hallelujah. You're walking on the firm way. Hallelujah. Come on, make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or left. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Pray it. See, you can pray according to the Word. This is what we're talking about tonight. Lord, I'm sowing. You see, you're sowing all these words now. You're sowing all these words over your life. This is what you're doing as you pray these words. You're sowing them. Hallelujah. You're sowing these words now. I'm not going to swerve to the left or right. I'm going to keep my feet from evil. I'm going to keep walking on the level path. I'm going to keep walking on the solid way of the rock. I'm not walking on the shifting sand of emotion, of reason, of feelings, of circumstances. I'm walking on the rock. I'm walking in the truth of God's Word. I'm walking in the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. 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 Now, just before we pray for corporate things, if you need to sow a seed, perhaps of healing or to meet some particular need, do that now. When you sow the seed, you put it in the ground. You say to the Lord, Lord, remember, we have to believe first. I believe your word. And I sow this word now. And I believe this word will come to fulfillment in your way and your time, but you will fulfill your word. You will watch over this word to fulfill it. You will fulfill this promise that I'm sowing tonight. And I thank you that I don't have to keep sowing it, that once it's sown, I can keep watering it with the thanksgiving that what has been sown this evening will come to harvest. So when you sow, Jesus says you pray at all times with thanksgiving. So pray now with thanksgiving. Thank Him. Thank Him for the harvest that's going to come from that seed. Thank Him for the harvest that's going to come from that seed. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I'll see results.
Hallelujah.
I'll see results. I'll see fruits.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you thanking Him?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Can you be like the farmer who, when he sows the seed, he sees, all he sees is barren soil? But in his mind, in his heart, he sees a harvest field. Can you see the harvest that's going to come from that seed? Can you thank the Lord for the harvest? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we're just going to spend a few minutes praying over the church. All three congregations, one church, right? So we're praying over the three congregations, but we're praying as one church. And we're going to pray words from Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus, because that's a prayer for this church as well as for that church. It's a prayer for now as well as a prayer for then. So we're going to sow each of these things. We're going to do it very briefly because of time. But actually, it doesn't take long to sow a seed, does it? I mean, when you sow seeds in your garden, how long does it take? This is why Jesus says, you won't be heard for your many words. This is why he said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, right? But the mustard seed in your hand won't produce anything, but as soon as you sow it, you see, that mustard seed will become a tree. It will come to harvest. The birds of the air will come and nest in it. So the Word of God says this, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now come on, we're sowing that word over this church. We're sowing that word over every member of this church. Not only the present members, but the future members. Because we're believing for growth, we're believing for multiplication. So Lord, we sow this seed that out of your glorious riches, you were strengthened with power through your Spirit in the inner being of every member of this church, so that Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith. Every single member, Lord, we're sowing this seed for every member of this church. That Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith. That we will be a people of faith with the word of Christ dwelling in our hearts, so we can keep sowing his word from our hearts. Have you sown that? Sown it over your life, sown it over the congregation, hallelujah, over the whole church. Praise God. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, so Lord, we sow that seed, every member of this church and every future member of this church is going to be established in your love. Not just knowing that you love them, but established in your love, rooted in your love. Rooted in your love. Love for you, love for one another, love for the lost, rooted in your love. Hallelujah. We sow that. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We see the harvest. We see the harvest. So that you may have power together with all the saints here in this church, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that that love is going to release power into our lives to know and to trust in the greatness of your love. Come on, we're sowing this word. We're sowing this word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That everybody in this church will grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. We're sowing it over every member and every future member. Thank you, Lord. This is going to be the lifeblood of this church. Hallelujah. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Lord, we're sowing that, that we're going to have such revelation of your love that it will surpass knowledge. Hallelujah. It will be beyond our understanding. Hallelujah. Come on, can you pray that? Sow that word. Sow that word. This is going to be a body of love. Love that surpasses knowledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Lord, I'm sowing that seed over every member of this church, over every future member of this church, that every single member will know the full measure of the fullness of Christ, that they will know that in their lives, in their experience. We thank you, Lord. We sow that. We water that. We water that. We water that with thanksgiving. That every member of this church is going to live in the fullness of your life that you came to give. We're sowing that. We're sowing that word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Lord, we're sowing that. We're sowing that. For every member of this church, for every future member of this church, we're sowing this. This is going to be a way of life. This is going to be a way of life. Not just a way of love, not just a way of love, but Lord, we will know that you will do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to that power that is at work within us. Hallelujah. Because we keep sowing your word and we keep watering your word with thanksgiving and praise. Thank you, Lord. We're going to see this word come to fruitfulness, that we will see you doing immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Lord, this is not some vague hope. This is your word. And we're sowing your word. We're believing your word. And we're watering that word with thanksgiving, that this is what we shall see. The harvest. According to that power that is at work within us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you happy? We haven't quite finished. Haven't quite finished. To him be glory in the church. Lord, we're sowing that. Your glory in this church, Lord. Your glory in this church. Your glory in this church. Your glory in this church. Your glory in each of the congregations. Your glory in every member of this church. Your glory in all the future members of this church. Your glory, Lord. Your glory, Lord. Your glory, Lord. We sow that word. We water it. Thank you. Thank you that you are going to be glorified in this church. Thank you that there's going to be the revelation of your glory. Thank you that the things that are going to happen here will give glory to your name. Thank you that there will be a harvest for your glory. Much fruit for your glory. Praise you, Lord. 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 To him be glory in the church. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Thank you, Lord. Your glory in our children. Your glory in our grandchildren. Hallelujah. Your glory, Lord, in the generations that will come in the future of this church. Thank you, Lord, that the lifestyle we're sowing in your word now is going to be reproduced in our children and in our grandchildren. And we praise you and we bless you. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, every generation of this church. Your glory in the life of every believer of every age and generation. Hallelujah. Can you praise Him now? Come on, just praise Him. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. 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 Now, beloved, because we have believed these words and because we have sown these words, God Himself, Jesus, listen to me, Jesus now has the responsibility to watch over these words and to make sure they come to fulfillment. That's not our responsibility. It's His responsibility. Why? You see, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who gives the growth. So when we plant the seed, sow the seed, and when we water it, it's God's responsibility to give the growth. It's not our responsibility to make it grow. Right? That's God's responsibility. But there's a natural sort of growth process that takes place in the kingdom, as Jesus explains in the parables. It's getting too late to go into that in any detail. So let's just thank the Lord that He's going to give the growth to all these seeds that we've planted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Come on, let's just... A great burst of thanksgiving. Great burst of praise. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, papara sarabari alero bakala zandari aleto bakala zandari alero bakala zanduma. Oh, papara sarabari alero bakala zinuma. Oh, papara. Isn't this more exciting than praying our own words?
Yes.
I think it's much more exciting, you see, than, you know, just deciding what we want God to do and try to give Him instructions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you. Just turn to at least three people and say to them, I'm living Proverbs 4 from now on.